Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Pearlman. My guest is singer-songwriter Sloane Wainwright. Wainwright belongs to a musical dynasty of amazing and acclaimed singer-songwriters. She is the younger sister of Loudon Wainwright and aunt of Rufus and Martha Wainwright. Sloane Wainwright is comfortable in many musical styles, from pop to folk to blues, and she has released over half a dozen solo CDs. Her most recent is a collection about the many changes she's gone through these last few years, including the death of her husband of 30 years. The CD is called Upside Down and Under My Heart. Wainwright also teaches at many of the well-known songwriting series and workshops throughout the country. I'm talking to Sloane Wainwright by phone from her office in upstate New York. Sloane Wainwright, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I actually want to start at the beginning. You obviously grew up in a musical and creative family, and tell us a little bit about your childhood. There must have been musicians and songwriters flowing through your landscape when you were young.
Well, there was a certain amount of that. My oldest brother, Loudon, very, very musical and played music from the time he was a young fellow. But, you know, there are 11 years between us. So,
yeah.
You know, by the time I really started paying attention, he was kind of out of the house. But growing up, what was wonderful, you know, I have three siblings who are older than me. So there was a stereo in every room. And wonderful, wonderful music from behind every door that was, you know, closed or cracked open. And, you know, I heard a lot of different kinds of music. And my father was a great appreciator of music.
Uh-huh. And well, was it Loudon's career that was the impetus behind you wanting to get into the music and writing and so on? Or did you go in an entirely different direction with a different set of friends?
Well, I mean, I had a front row seat watching my big brother emerge and was truly inspired. I remember when he wrote his first song. I remember him playing it for my mom and I in our kitchen in Bedford, New York. It was
wow.
A song about a guy named Edgar who worked at the boatyard in Watchill, Rhode Island, where Loudy had been spending the summer with our grandmother. He was, you know, he was possibly 20 or 19. He'd been playing music for years and years and years and then kind of caught on to this idea of writing songs. And frankly, when I heard the song about Edgar, I thought to myself, I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, well, you turned out to be absolutely right. So when did you begin writing songs and start thinking about a career?
Well, honestly, writing songs at that moment. As soon as I saw my brother doing it, I imitated him. I mm-hmm. thought that this was a wonderful thing to imitate. And our father was a journalist, so it was always about the story in our house, and writing and expression and words and all that kind of stuff was a big thumbs up, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
In regard to, and frankly, I always wanted to be on stage, saw myself on stage, had, like so many of us, I mean, tell me, Tish, didn't you sort of dream of that too?
Oh, yes. Luckily, I just don't know how to sing.
But the performance piece came later for me. The creating piece of creating songs and working with music and words came very naturally, very early on, and the performance piece took a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have such a different and dramatic voice. It's an amazing voice. Some people have said your voice is reminiscent of Odetta. Now, did you ever entertain the idea of going into musical theater? It's a dramatic, wonderful voice.
Yeah. Well, I love musical theater. I'm a huge fan of musical theater, of cabaret. I love dramatic music. I love opera.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
all kinds of music. I do have a brawny approach to singing. It seems that this time around, in this lifetime of mine, most of the emphasis of my work has been working with my voice and learning about my voice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand why. It's a gorgeous and expressive voice. I was actually quite amazed when I first heard your voice. And speaking of which, I want to play an excerpt from Upside Down and Under My Heart. This song is called I Can See Now, and it's my favorite on the CD.
Yay!
To tell us a little bit about it.
Well, this is a song that I wrote walking in the woods. I live in the town that I grew up in, my hometown, Katona, New York. Walking in the winter woods, pondering where I'm at with my vision for life, my
mm-hmm.
vision. There are many healing themes in the record, and the way that I see things, this is a healing song. It is a healing song in regard to my vision.
Okay, let's listen to an excerpt from it. You know what? That is such a dramatic and moving piece to me. That was the one that struck me the moment I heard it.
Mm. Yeah. I'm so glad. I love that song, too, have to say. That was a completely channeled song. The trees, the trees really helped with that one.
You convey the feeling of where you were. You were obviously almost in a different world in some ways. Now, the current CD is filled with so many personal songs. Were you writing them as a whole, or did it come together in this way and just become a personal CD?
Those songs, the songs on that CD represent kind of a four-year span,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miraculous thing that CD even got finished and made, just because so many changes. I was going through so many changes in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the ones that made it on. There are others.
Mm-hmm. And will we ever hear the others?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's... I actually interviewed Janice Ian a couple times, and we talked about vulnerability and revealing some very personal emotions. How do you feel about that? Do you ever censor yourself and think, oh, maybe I shouldn't reveal this?
Yeah, there's definitely songs that don't see the light of day. I believe in letting it come out, and then sort of in regard to writing a song, I come from the school of work in a non-edit mode. You have the rest of your life to edit, and almost like a theme with variations, like painting or with music, many songs can lead you to the song. So to the song that you really want to, that has legs or that you want to put out there, but that being said, there also I have found that simply being, showing who I really am, that works well too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's songs on this record that I Wear the Ring is the one where I really, that was a personal healing song for me. And I wasn't sure that it was going to make it on the record.
Yeah, I'm gonna introduce that a little bit later in the show. It's a great song. How do you write? Do you start out with lyrics, or does a melody wander into your head, or how do you do?
Well, I write a couple of different ways. I have my wonderful collaborator and co-writer and guitarist, Stephen Murphy. We do a lot of writing together. We've been writing together for 22 years, and often he will give me a little snippet of a guitar groove with some chord changes. And I listen to the music, and I let the music speak to me. Also, I sit down at the piano, because I play the piano, and I simply play and see where it takes me. So often, it starts with a musical idea for me, and an emotion.
Uh-huh.
And also, though, I practice my craft. I'm working on writing all the time, with ideas around what songs, what I want to write about, where I'm at.
Yeah.
Ideas, cool phrases, things that come to me. I've learned through the years to just be in that flow of allowing myself to write things down.
Oh, yeah. Well, it certainly shows in some of this beautiful work. I want to play a second excerpt from Upside Down and Under My Heart. This one's called Today, and it's a gorgeous piece that you obviously wrote with your late sister-in-law, Kate McGarrigle. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Well, yeah. I am so grateful that we wrote that song together.
Uh-huh.
It's the only song that we wrote together.
Really?
And we wrote it at a time when I was ready to start writing again. My husband, George, had died a year before, and I had sort of stopped music, even though I was doing a little bit of singing, but I wasn't really in a creative place.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just begun coming up with some ideas, and Kate was unwell, getting sicker, dealing with her cancer, clear cell sarcoma, and we talked a lot, and she and George were friends, good friends.
Oh,
and so I told her about this song, and I was going up there to visit, and she said she didn't want to work on it. And when I got up there to Montreal, I played it for her, and her interest was piqued.
Oh, I can understand why.
And she said, let's do this. And we knocked it out really quickly. We knocked it out in an hour because a lot of it was there, but knocked it out very, very quickly. And what is on the record is actually the demo that we made in her apartment in Montreal.
Mm.
I did do a fancy production of it, you know, and it was at a different tempo. I was going to have a whole other version on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Much faster tempo with a different kind of orchestration and this and that. But then I decided to just put the demo on the record.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because of the visceral, visceral quality of it.
Let's listen to an excerpt from it.
Such a beautiful sight, birds on the wing with spring songs to sing. Their world, all green and blue, all light and shadow, all love.
Sloan, that is really a gorgeous version of it. It must touch you every time you hear it.
Yeah, and I remember that day. I remember the weekend, and it was wonderful to have Haim there, and Joel. Haim is playing harmonica and mando, and Joel is on viola, and he had just had oral surgery, tooth removed or something, and you know, it was kind of a crazy, wonderful, beautiful day, and.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful.
A lot of memories. I mean, for me, it's the memory of that day and of that moment. I mean, it really captures that what that is for me personally, captures the essence of that weekend and our connection.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. I'm so glad you shared it with us. Now, when you get together with your family, do you guys end up playing music or talking about music, or is it constant music when you?
Well, I mean,
you must see Rufus
business.
And Martha and yeah.
Yeah, it's a family business. So yeah, there's a lot of talk of music. Do we play music sometimes? You know, it depends. For a lot of years at holidays, we would play songs and take turns, and you know, everybody's got a little bit of ham bone in them, and but you know, there's a lot of talk of the business because many of us are in it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is singer-songwriter Sloan Wainwright. We're talking about her CD, Upside Down and Under My Heart, a beautiful, beautiful CD. Now, it seems to me it took you a while before you decided to cut your own solo CD. You didn't really start recording till the mid-90s, is what I understood. Well, why is that?
Well, actually, the first CD, the first record that we did was in 1993. Why did it take me so long? Well, my story is that even though I have been performing and writing songs and creating musical landscapes for theater and dance and all that kind of stuff since I was a teenager, mm-hmm. I married young when I was 24, was doing music, had children young, had a beautiful marriage, had a restaurant, bakery.
Really?
I did a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for 23 years I had a bakery restaurant in Capone, New York.
Wow.
Called the Baker's Cafe, which is actually what made it possible for me to have a career as an independent musician, because I had a job.
That's exactly what the recipe is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I did it a little differently. You know, I didn't sign on with a record label in the 80s. I didn't do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Family came first for me, Tish,
mm-hmm.
then music.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And my work. And I kind of was able to do a lot of things. And it was all about creativity and love.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of for me, creating that record in 1993, that was my entree into the new sort of singer-songwriter folk music scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had product and you had this and you had that. I was doing shows in the city and working as Sloan Wainwright, but that 1993 self-titled release was really the beginning of being part of the ever expanding folk music scene.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you did that. I want to play another excerpt. This is the one we mentioned before. I Wear the Ring. It's a beautiful song, Sloan. It must be really hard for must have been really hard for you to write.
It was so easy for me to write.
Was it? Mm.
Because, well, it was. It was so easy for me to write because it was healing. It was healing me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's repetitive. It's mantra-like. It's meditative-like. It's poignant. It's sad. It's longing, yearning. But it's also moving through
mm-hmm.
to a place of strength and understanding.
Yeah, let's listen to an excerpt from it.
I wear the ring, I wear the gold ring, I wear your wedding ring, I put it on your finger many years ago. I see the sun, I see the younger sun, I watch our grown sons trying to become men with a long way to go. While I pretend that you are near, soon I won't be pretending, I'll be knowing you're right here. No more pretending, just knowing you're right here.
I found that a very touching song. I wish we had time to play the whole thing, but people will get a feel for what it's about. Your husband,
yes.
George, died in 2008. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
I'm feeling good. Yes, it's been, he died at the end of December in 2008, so it's been 4 years and 4 months, which is pretty amazing. The time has gone really, really fast.
Mm.
I feel great. I feel excited about my beautiful life, and I've been working very hard at putting things together in regard to my life. Our sons are doing great. I have a 30-year-old son who lives in Brooklyn, Sam McTavey, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter in his own right, and a geologist. And then my younger son, Gabriel, is in Florida, age 26, and, you know, we have each other, and that's fabulous. I'm excited about my work. I'm very grateful for I'm very grateful for my work and for the life that I have now.
Yeah, that's
so. I'm doing good.
Oh, that's great.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, well, I sense that you must be, because you wouldn't be putting stuff out like this. Now, when you write personal songs like the last one that we played, do you play them for close friends and family before deciding to make them public?
Oh yeah, totally.
Uh-huh.
I do. I have a couple of people that I play my songs for, and often, Tish, you know, I'm fearless live. You got
to
come see me.
I would love to.
I'm pretty fearless live. I will try things. You know, I try new stuff. I try things out on audiences and see what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to do that. I like that. I like that ever, you know, I like taking some chances.
Mm-hmm. I
like it.
Go ahead.
I like the edge of chances.
Okay. I was just wondering if you, do you actually do improv of songs that you forget what you said and you wish you could reclaim them so that you could record them? Have you done that?
I do improv?
Yeah. I mean, improvising songs for the moment that you're feeling.
Do I do songs extemporaneously?
Exactly.
You know what? I don't really do that. I can do that. And there have been moments when things have happened and I wish that I could remember it. I'm not really great at that. I have my little structure, you know, that I work with.
Oh, yeah, you must. Yeah. what does performing feel like for you, though? I mean, do you love it, or do you
performing.
Find it? You never found it difficult like some people. They love to record,
was,
but they don't like to.
When I was young, I did.
Oh.
You know, when I was a teenager, because I did a lot of performing in the 70s, and I was young. I started performing when I was 15.
Wow.
And, stood in line at Folk City and the Dugout and Kenny's Castaways and picked a card and waited all night long and puked in the bathroom and, you know, played my one song that was often dreadful and sad, and, you know, people would wonder, what is wrong with that kid? I was nervous as all get out. I was scared. I was compelled to do it, but it was not easy for me. And frankly, the performance piece became easier for me when I was quite grounded in my life, when my son Gabriel was born when I was 29, and that was my second child, and I had my business, my beautiful husband, my wonderful work, songs and music, and that was when I stepped back onto stage at age 30. And Kate McGarrigle was a great, great supporter of me, because that was when actually she really stepped onto stage in her 30s. And
wow.
She said to me, it's never too late. I have to laugh now. It's never too late. 30 is perfect, you know. Oh, my gosh, Tish, I feel like I have lived so many lifetimes.
How bad.
But that was when it became easier for me, because in my 30s, it was all the work that I did in regard to music and performing. I told myself, you know, hey, man, if this goes really badly, or if people don't like me, or if it's a bad show, or if I mess up, I know who loves me.
Oh,
I
yes.
get to go home to the people who love me. So let's just do this.
You know, you need that security off stage in order to give your best self to the world. I totally understand that. Before we run out of time, I want to play Holland.
Ah.
Just a small excerpt from that. Can you tell us what's going on in that song? I don't quite get it, but
okay.
I loved it.
Okay, here's the story of Holland. Holland was written after I shared with folks my first George dream.
Mm.
And in my dream, George was walking in one direction and I was walking in another. And as we passed each other, I looked at him in my dream and I said, Charlie, what are you doing here? You died.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, no, I've been in Holland.
Ah, let's listen to an excerpt.
Just over here, I flew across the ocean. Remember. remembering all those years. My mind wandering. Wish I could have stayed. You know the doctors fixed me up, but it just doesn't feel that way. But you're picking up the pieces I left behind.
It's a beautiful song. I couldn't quite get what it was about. How interesting, though. Do you want to tell us a little more about it?
Sure. So it's written from his point of view.
Ah.
I'm in Holland, just over here. I flew across the ocean, remembering all those years. My mind wandering. Wish I could have stayed. You know, the doctors, they fixed me up, but it just doesn't feel that way.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that he said to me in the dream. He said, you remember that problem I had? Well, they fixed it in Holland.
Ah.
So it's another healing song. It's,
yeah.
It's another step towards healing, me trying to integrate and understand and synthesize the information on all the different levels, the physical level, the emotional level, and the spiritual level,
yeah,
of the loss of my beloved.
Yeah, yeah. That song really is, it's even more poignant now that I was thinking that you were remembering a vacation you took with him,
right,
or something like that. What
I get that.
Wonderful piece,
totally.
Yeah. before we do run out of time, I want to ask you about teaching. You teach songwriting,
yes,
workshops and master classes.
Yes.
Well, what is it that you try to pass on to budding songwriters when you're teaching them, or even people who've been around for a while?
Right. Well, I work primarily as a vocal coach and a songwriting and performance coach. Be yourself, bringing forth one's authentic self and allowing yourself time to practice your craft.
Mm.
My teaching and mentoring and facilitating of workshops has been a very powerful piece in my career, a very important component in my career. I've been mentoring and facilitating for 17 years, travel all over the country, work at many different kinds of folk arts workshops and songwriting camps, and it's just been a blessing in my life. To name a few, Summer Song, Summer Acoustic Music Week, the Swannanoa Gathering, Moab Folk Camp, goes on and on and on, and I love my work.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that must be incredibly invigorating to work with people who are wanting to work with words, you know. Can you give us some contact information before we close out?
Absolutely. Go to my website, which is SloaneWainwright.com. That's no E and two W's. So it's www.SloaneWainwright.com. And you can get in touch with me. You can see where I'm going to be, what I'm doing. I've been doing a great, fun radio show called The Music Power Hour. And have wonderful shows coming up and a lot of teaching this summer. So there's much that I'm looking forward to.
Oh, that's great. Well, Sloan Wainwright, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a pleasure to talk to you and share some of your wonderful work. Again, the CD is called Upside Down and Under My Heart. Sloan Wainwright, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.